What happens when a secret police officer becomes president of the world's largest country? On the final day of 1999, a little-known KGB operative named Vladimir Putin inherited the ruins of a superpower. Russia had spent the previous decade careening from communist dictatorship to chaotic democracy, from global rival to economic basket case. Few predicted this obscure bureaucrat would transform his country into a nationalist autocracy that would challenge the entire Western order. Yet Putin's rise wasn't an accident. It was the culmination of centuries of Russian history colliding with modern geopolitics. Understanding this collision isn't just academic curiosity. It's essential for anyone navigating our increasingly fractured world, where a resurgent Russia tests the boundaries of international norms while the West struggles to respond coherently. The Soviet experiment ended through prolonged decline rather than sudden collapse. By the 1970s, economic stagnation was so profound, Russians coined a term for it, zastoy. Military spending devoured resources, while citizens endured declining living standards and environmental catastrophe. When Mikhail Gorbachev became General Secretary in 1985, he recognized the need for radical change. His 1983 meeting with Alexander Yakovlev proved transformative, two men who independently concluded the USSR needed fundamental reform. Together, they embarked on restructuring that would inadvertently destroy the system they hoped to save. Gorbachev's foreign policy shifts proved equally dramatic. The Afghan War ended with complete withdrawal by February 1989. His Malta summit with President Bush announced the superpowers no longer considered themselves enemies. As the Berlin Wall fell and republics declared independence, the economy collapsed. By December 1991, Gorbachev resigned as the Soviet Union ceased to exist. Boris Yeltsin inherited this chaos. His presidency brought tremendous turbulence, battles with a communist-dominated parliament, painful economic reforms, and two brutal Chechen wars. Despite 3% approval ratings, he won re-election in 1996 through oligarch support. On December 31, 1999, Yeltsin appointed the obscure KGB operative Vladimir Putin as prime minister before abruptly resigning, leaving a legacy of democratic aspirations undermined by economic chaos and corruption. Who truly rules Russia? After the Soviet collapse, newly wealthy oligarchs clashed with security service veterans known as siloviki. The oligarchs amassed fortunes, acquiring state assets at nominal prices during privatization. Most who flourished under Yeltsin fell under Putin. Their fatal mistake was political ambition. Boris Berezovsky, despite installing Putin as Yeltsin's successor, lost everything after criticizing the president's handling of the Kursk submarine disaster. Forced into London exile, he committed suicide in 2013. Mikhail Khodorkovsky, once Russia's richest man, spent 8 years in prison for publicly challenging Putin. The siloviki completely outmaneuvered the oligarchs. While oligarchs competed without unity, the siloviki shared the common bond of KGB service and ingrained mission. As Nikolai Patrushev declared in 2002, the Secret Service had become the new nobility, motivated by duty rather than money. About one-third of Putin's inner circle comes from KGB backgrounds. Their indoctrination taught them they were Russia's elite, the sword and shield protecting the nation. The KGB invested heavily in propaganda, like the popular TV series 17 Moments of Spring, portraying a brilliant Soviet spy infiltrating Nazi high command. Pure fiction, yet it became a cultural touchstone. Former KGB figures emerged as the dominant political force, forming an authoritarian elite rather than democratic leadership. After Soviet ideology collapsed, Russian intellectuals revived the 19th-century debate between Westernizers and Slavophiles. Pyotr Chadayev lamented Russia's isolation from the great families of the human race. Slavophiles countered that Russians sought spiritual rather than political freedom, leaving governance to the state while pursuing inner life. Later thinkers embraced anti-liberalism and anti-Westernism. Nikolai Danilevsky believed Russians were the only God-fearing people destined to triumph over a decaying West. In 2013, Putin distributed three philosophical works to governors and senior politicians, most significantly Ivan Ilyin's Our Tasks. Ilyin's vision, strong central authority with limited rights for non-Russian regions, resonated deeply. Putin personally arranged for Ilyin's remains to be returned to Moscow in 2005. Eurasianism became the doctrine's most important component. Originating among 1920s émigrés, it posited an unbridgeable divide between Russia and the West. Neo-Eurasianists fear Americanization and envision a future Eurasia from Dublin to Vladivostok, with Russia a successor to the Mongol Empire, restoring a timeless steppe empire opposing the Romano-Germanic West. Alexander Dugin became Neo-Eurasianism's primary ideologue, championing anti-globalism, anti-liberalism, anti-Americanism, and the belief that Russia must embrace its Eastern destiny and reject Western influences. The Orthodox Church remains central to Russian identity, from Byzantine roots to today's revival. Though brutally persecuted early in Soviet rule, Stalin rehabilitated it during World War II at the cost of complete KGB infiltration, with even patriarchs serving as agents. Despite thousands of reopened churches, genuine practice remains minimal. Only 2-3% attend services regularly. Today's church functions as a government tool, with Patriarch Kirill echoing Putin's denunciations of the godless West. Russia's demographic crisis is existential. Despite territorial expansion, population grew modestly from 125 million 1897 to 142 million today. Current projections show nearly 20% decline per generation without immigration. Russian men average just 65 years lifespan, primarily due to alcoholism. The 1990s baby crash created a rapidly shrinking pool of childbearing age women. Islam is Russia's fate, says expert Alexei Malashenko. Russia's 20 million Muslims concentrate in the Caucasus, Moscow, and Middle Volga. Chechnya required two brutal wars to subdue. A 2012 assassination attempt on Tatarstan's Supreme Mufti exposed a 13-year undeclared war, systematic infiltration by Arab Salafi preachers radicalizing previously stable regions. Russia's demographic and economic weakness undermines its Eurasianist ambitions to lead an Asian coalition. Born in 1952 in Leningrad, Putin joined the KGB in 1975 after law school. Following counterintelligence work in Leningrad and Dresden, he returned to St. Petersburg in 1991, resigned as lieutenant colonel, and entered city administration. When Putin became president, Russia faced economic crisis. His greatest fortune was oil prices surging from $16 per barrel under Yeltsin to $91 by 2008, fueling 7% annual growth, 2001 to 2007, doubling GDP and enabling debt repayment. Putin established vertical power, centralizing authority with trusted colleagues from St. Petersburg and the KGB. He crushed oligarchs who challenged him politically while rewarding loyal ones. Despite occasional middle-class protests, his approval ratings hit 80% as Russians, disillusioned with 1990s democracy, embraced his strongman image. Putinism blends authoritarian rule with nationalist rhetoric, combining state capitalism with selective economic liberalism. The system maintains democratic facades while limiting their actual power, centered on nationalism and anti-Westernism. The energy sector forms the backbone of Russian policy, with oil and gas exports rising from 7% to 50% of the economy over the last century. Putin's foreign policy transformation came not through ideology, but through rising energy prices that dramatically improved Russia's economic position. Russian leaders viewed NATO expansion as provocation, believing the West ignored Soviet concessions. Zapadobia, fear of the West, intensified, culminating in Putin's 2007 Munich speech against Western unipolarity. The Kremlin pivoted eastward, prioritizing China and India, but this risks Russia becoming China's junior partner. Today, China's population is 10 times larger and its economy 4 times bigger, a dramatic reversal from 1993 when their economies were equal. As Russia's economy strengthened, the Kremlin cultivated Europe's far-right parties, abandoning its historical alliance with the left. Russia's embrace of populism and religious conservatism aligned naturally with European ultranationalists. The French National Front even received Russian campaign loans. Russian sentiment transformed from post-Soviet pessimism to nationalist confidence. Over 75% now view their country as a superpower. Yet cautious voices cite demographic challenges, resource overdependence, and technological backwardness. Today's Russian youth show little interest in political transformation. Surveys reveal 80% prioritize financial success over political ideals. Alarmingly, youth suicide rates triple the European average, suggesting deep social distress. Russia's future remains uncertain despite military resurgence. Democratic transition prospects appear dim. The ruling elite fears prosecution for corruption. Surprisingly, 47% of Russians express positive views of Stalin's leadership. As Gogol's Troika metaphor suggests, Russia continues charging forward with uncertain direction. The question isn't whether Russia will assert itself, Putin has made that inevitable, but whether the West can respond with strategic clarity rather than reactive confusion.